the paper 7. We had a similar paper last time as well. So we followed the same procedure that we followed the February meeting. The log includes all the submissions that have been received, and you have the status there of each submission and how it is addressed. The staff provided agenda papers for some implementation questions that meet the criteria, and we had the discussion here at the TRG, and all the other topics are included in Agenda Paper 7. Agenda Paper 7 provides more information on those questions that were not included in a specific agenda paper that we have discussed today, and it has three categories. The first one is four questions that can be answered applying only the words in IFRS 17. The second one is questions that do not meet the submission criteria, which we didn't have this time around. And the third one is questions that are being considered through a process other than a TRG discussion. We do not intend to discuss, of course, all the list there, but report it to you. But again, if you have questions or comments, you're welcome to raise them up. So kind of open the discussion.
Kevin?
Thanks, Martin. I just have 2 points. The first was I was just a little bit confused about the first question, so S13. I'm not sure I understand either the question or the answer. You can help me with both. Yes,
I will help you because I got this question already, so okay. I'm prepared. So, and if you think that the question is different, then I'm happy to address that as well. So what we understood the question is, we have a full retrospective approach to apply a transition, and we have the modified approach. And the question said, what are the fact that we have a modified approach with specific modifications means that we cannot do any kind of estimates or other approximations when we do the full retrospective approach? And the answer to that is, first of all, full retrospective approach is not introduced by IFRS 17. We have this in all other standards. We are all familiar with this, auditors as well here, so we know how to apply it. And the other answer is that, no, it does not mean that you cannot do estimate and approximation in order to provide a full retrospective approach. You can do that as well in the modified retrospective approach. So estimates are part of doing full retrospective approach. I hope that helps.
It's really helpful.
Good.
Thank you.
Sorry.
The other point, just quickly, was, and this was made to me by someone, I think on some of your questions, and about three of them, in response you say this is actuarial in nature and therefore doesn't fall within the remit of the TRG. We probably thought it was better to say, you know, the IFRS 17 standard sets principles and then you kind of go about practice and figuring them out. And these questions are more about the practice rather than saying, you know, something actuarial can't be talked about at the TRG. So I think that's what it was saying, but someone just was offended by the exact words.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mary.
Coming back to S13. I do absolutely appreciate that you can only respond to the questions that were being asked, but I do sense that there is somebody out there who is desperate to try and ask a question about how should the modified retrospective approach be applied in practice. So
we invited someone to submit a question.
So one hopes that they are listening to this meeting. So one hopes they have the confidence to submit that question.
That's good.
Getting into the detail on S29, where I think, again, one sense that after rather sort of drawing a line underneath this, I think the outcome could achieve a significantly different approach. Mm-hmm. So if I may, could I have the opportunity to submit a worked example to you to illustrate that?
Absolutely. Good. Any?
Leslie?
I asked S13. So I know what I meant.
I felt someone kick me when I said that.
I don't know if it came through. The trouble is there's lots, like in trying to decide whether the full retrospective approach is impractical or not, you have to look back and see what information you have and what you can do. And some of it's better than others, right? And What I was trying to get at is there's some kind of way of looking at whether the estimate you're coming up with is good enough. And what I thought would be a reasonable kind of benchmark for that is how reasonable would it have to be today in order to for you to be confident enough to put it on your report on your financial statements. That you should also be that confident in your estimates in order to be able to say that you can do the full retrospective approach. The fact that there are specific modifications for specific pieces of information that you don't have seem to me to lead down that path. It's like you shouldn't be making up other modifications because you don't have other pieces of information that should throw you off in practical. So I found the staff view, yes, I didn't mean to suggest that you couldn't estimate, of course you can estimate, so maybe I did ask the wrong question, but the idea was just I'm shooting for kind of the same level of confidence in my estimate as I would be if I was reporting the number currently. I also, S29 was the one that tweaked for me because the answer is not different at initial recognition. You can always come up with an equivalent level that would give you the same answer as a curve, but in subsequent measure, the result would be very different. So I was a little surprised to see that kind of do what you want.
And to be clear, man, this standard is not changing anything regarding what is the quality of data which you have to use for a retrospective approach. That is unchanged. And the reason that we have invited the modification approach does not change that. So there is not anything new or different to what we have done in the past years regarding retrospective approach. Gail.
Yes, I just wanted to highlight the one that you've got in your third bucket, S33, which is the, I think you're saying you're performing more outreach. I would emphasise that we are getting quite a lot of questions where they're scope questions, where whilst some of those scope questions would have been there in IFRS 4, of course it didn't matter in IFRS 4 because you just carried on doing your existing accounting, they are massively critical in the whole implementation process because some of these products, if they're in, you've got to go and build an entire system of doing it or not. So I don't think this is a minor issue at the end. I think this is quite a big practical issue, and I particularly worry about where their contract's not written by insurers who aren't around this table. I have particular concerns, so I think it is quite urgent because people won't even have woken up to them yet.
Okay. Any other comments? Not the case.